Hello, welcome to 251, two pianists, 5 minutes, one subject. Today we're going to be talking about the standard Stella by Starlight, and this is one of a new strand that we're doing called Tunes We Love. My name is Nick Tomlin.
And my name's Simon Whiteside, and this is 251. Stella by Starlight was written by Victor Young for a film in 1944, and it was then it was called The Uninvited, which strangely enough is a bit hard to see here unless you buy it as a DVD, although it does stream in America for any of our American listeners, if we have any. And it was written as part of the score, and then Washington, I think, wasn't it? Ned Washington the lyrics later on. And it became a standard quite quickly after that. So it's interesting, actually. Sometimes these sorts of tunes that we play, I often think they're written in the 40s, and half the time they're written in the 20s. But this one actually is one of the tunes that's written in the jazz era, kind of the standard jazz era, what you might call the sort of sweet spot, 45 to 60, something like that. And it was called that because at some point the Rick, played by Ray Milland, tells Stella, who was played by Gail Russell, that he is playing a serenade to Stella by Starlight. And it has the brilliant lyric, "which ripples by a nook, which the Reverend Spooner may come a cropper." And it's an interesting tune, I think, because it is a 32-bar tune, and you could just about squeeze it into an AABA format, but it isn't really. I would say it's a little bit unconventional. It's sort of A, B, C, and then A, 2.
Yes, yeah.
Which is, there aren't many tunes that do that.
No.
And the original, in fact, I found, we're going to talk about John Williams, the pianist, at some point, and I found an interesting version of Stella by Starlight with Marty Page Quartet, which is actually a quartet of pianos, believe it or not. And they do Stella by Starlight, and they start with the original B flat diminished chord.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's been replaced now by E half diminished, A7 flat.
Possibly by B11s. I always kind of associate the modern changes with him and the Miles Davis version.
Well, Miles Davis was doing that. It wasn't necessarily B11s the first recording of that, was it?
No, I don't know.
Could have been Wynton Kelly or Red Garland. But yeah, by that time it had been replaced. And it's an interesting one because it kind of leads you to a false 2-5 to C minor. And we don't actually get, it's in B flat, the whole song is in B flat. But we don't actually get the first B flat chord until the start of the second 8 bars.
No.
And then when we get to the notional bridge, it wanders off and then comes back to a B flat, almost like it's finishing, because there's two whole bars of B flat at the end of that, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have this...
Almost like a coda, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it's almost like a coda, but also it's the same as the tune as the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes down as a kind of conventional set of 2-5-1s to get us, well, 2-5s to get us to a 2-5-1 in B flat at the end. And there's some many, many great versions. I mean, I'm a big fan of the standards live version, Keith Jarrett, but you know, the Miles Davis version is very good,
iconic.
And it's one of those tunes that I think is, I like soloing over it because it's constantly, you know, it's not that sort of rhythm changes-y sticking in one
and
key.
I think the what you call the bridge kind of gives a very because it's kind of more static, isn't it, than the than the other. It's not sort of changing every bar, so it kind of creates a different sort of mood, and you can kind of do stuff with that in improvising. I think that's a great tune for improvising over, I think.
Yeah, and it also has that, it has 2 bars of A flat 7, maybe sharp 11, and then 2 bars of B flat, doesn't it? Second half of that bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a tune to check out. We will put up a playlist. This is 251. I'm Simon Whiteside. Goodbye.
My name's Nick Tomlin. Goodbye.